Sim.
Is that proof that you don't do a leap year in a year of the famine? Snare towards the bottom of Chesamad Aleph in Yaakov. So, Mark, can you tell me about in Abdinus Hashanah, Lusneda Hashanah? One is not allowed to make a leap year before Hashanah. Rashi adds that you're not that faith in not even allowed to sit down and calculate it for a leap year before Hashanah. No, Tosfos disagrees and holds that you are allowed to, but Rambam holds like Tosfos. But the actual decision can only come after Hashanah. If you did make it a, if they did make it a leap year, or according to Rashi, if they calculated it before Hashanah even, then it's not a leap year from that decision. However, in case of emergency, then they're able to make it a leap year immediately after Hashanah. However, nevertheless, in Ma'avin in Ela Adar, you're only able to make a leap year of Adar. Rashi explains that the reason why you can't and do it earlier is because if you do it too early, then people are going to forget by the time it's Nisan, and then they're going to celebrate Pesach in what's actually Purim, what they think is Pesach is really Purim. And then they're gonna eat chametz on Pesach, thinking that Pesach Sheni, thinking that's here. Also gonna be a month off Sfira. That's it now. So now the Gemara challenges. Any, is this really so? But a message was sent to Rava from Eretz Yisrael, a cipher or message. It said, "Zug ba mirakas," a pair came from Rakas. Rakas is Tveria. The Gemara explains elsewhere that it's called Rakas because it was a place of Tamid Chamim, Rikonim, the pure. Mesafsa Nesher, an eagle. Rashi, he says the Persians, Ben Yehuda explains the Romans, captured them. Of Yadam, and in the hands of this pair, Dvarim Hanasim Beloz, was something that was made in Luz. So the Gemara, as in, Umayniyu, what's made in Luz? Tchelas. The tchelas is used in Tzitzis. So, however, b'zchus harachmim, in the merit of mercy, of tfilis, and in their merit of these two, yotze b'shalom, they're able to leave in peace. And the message continued, v'amusa the descendants of Nachshon wished to establish one and soldier, meaning 1 month. However, that Roman, in other words, the Roman government, did not allow them. However, the masses of gatherings gathered, in other words, the Tamil Chum gathered. The Kavu, they established a leap year in the month that Aaron Kayan passed away. In other words, of is before Tishrei. Usually. So, how could that have been? The Gemara says, you're allowed to calculate before Rosh Hashanah, but you're not allowed to reveal. So Rashi explained that Rashi held that it's a that the calculation is not able to be before, he's clearly holding a code to the happen, you know, the Gemara. Because of the Maskani, you're allowed to calculate even before, just revealing you're not allowed to until after. So, the Marsha explains this message interestingly. This message, what's with the cryptic message? And why the first half? The first half doesn't seem particularly, doesn't really, what does it matter that a pair, that two people came with Pelas and managed to escape? So he explains that what's happening over here is a lot deeper. What's happening over here is the Chachamim are trying to bring Mashiach here. So first off, he explains that the concept of leap years represents our superiority over the nations. Yishmael, it says, had 12 princes. Just like the Jews. So, they seem equal. However, the Jews, in truth, have a 13th. Because Yosef, because Yaakov took the Bechira and then gave it to Yosef, so now there's an extra Shevet, Menashe and Ephraim. So, that brings it to 13. So, that 13th is in turn translated into the months. The 13th month being Adar is Mazel Dagim, V'yid Gulurayv, matching Yosef, the fish. Now what's going on over here? A pair, the Medrash compares us to a pair of doves. Doves mate for life. They don't change their mate. We, to Hashem, we don't change in our mate. We are to Hashem and Hashem is to us. So this pair came from Rakas. Rakas came from this place of purity, as I said before. Tveria is called Rakas because of purity. It's purity of Taira. Mesafta Nesher, a Nesher, Yishmael, and Esav, both of which are compared to Nesher in different ways, tried stopping them. However, they're of Yodam Varmanasa Blos. In their hands, something that's made in Luz. Luz is called the city that's of no death. The story is Yos and his two scribes as there to try to avoid death. It's a place where people don't die. It's a place with no death. In other words, Taira. But my name is Tchelas. Which part of Taira specifically? Tchelas. Tchelas is compared to the sea. Tchelas is like the sea, which is like the sky, which is like the Kisei HaKavod. So they were trying to reach to make from case to Kisei. When Mashiach comes, the Yad al Kais Ka, Hashem's name is not complete, and the throne is not complete until a Moloch is destroyed, until Mashiach comes. And to some extent, they succeeded in it, as it continues, B'schus HaRachamim, in the a merit of Rachamim, the Shem HaRachamim is Yud Kei Vav Kei. So the a merit of Rachamim, and succeeded. It was chosam. There's chos. Tayr. You have to be sholei. They're able to start the process of bringing Mashiach. So now they want to finish it to have Mashiach come right then. The sense of Nachshon, and the Nachshon being the answer not only of the Nesiim but also of Mashiach. They want to establish Nitziv, Echad, to establish the month, this extra month, this power of Yosef, to overcome Esav. It says that Yaakov only he left Esav not to be able to be defeated except for the sense of Yosef. So they were trying to use the power of Yosef of this extra month. However, the Adami, the Malach of Edom, Samal, Esav, Samachmem, didn't let them. However, what they were able to do is that the Chachamim gathered and established that power in the month that Aaron passed away. The month that Tisha B'Av happened, that month was a month of extra power for Rome. It's the month that they were able to overpower us and destroy the Beis Mikdash. However, the Chachamim overrode that power and gave us that now we're winning, Mashiach is already able to start coming. And now we can bring Mashiach. The Ben Yehuda also comments that Nitziv, officer, the word officer, Nitziv, is a Netz Yud Beis. Netz is a hawk. The Arizal explains that the sound of a hawk it gives good news. So it's being Mavaser Mashiach. And Yud Beis being this, this 12th, this power of the extra month of Yosef. So now the Gemara continues. My mashma the high nesiv lishnu the yarchahu. So this entire message was encrypted to send to Rava. So part of it was to establish this extra a month, and they call it an extra officer. So why are they using the word officer to refer to months? Shneimar, it's referring to as it says in Melachim, l'shneima shneima sin sivim al kol Yisrael. Shneima had 12 of the Nesivim, 12 officers over the Jews, and they fed the king and his men, each one for each month of the year. So you see the officers are connected to months, so they called the month officer to encrypt the message. Mara asks, Vatsiv, but wait, the Pasuk says, Nesiv Echad Ba'aretz. As one officer in the land. So Rav Yehuda Rav Nachman. There's Machlekes Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. Chad Amar Menal Kolam, V'chad Amar Keneged Chedesh Eber. One says that it's one officer over all of them, and one says that it's one for in case of a leap year. Okay. The Tanur Rabbanan, and in Ma'abrin, in it's a Shana Ne'atoma. It not make a leap year if the Jews are tummy, because you're able to bring the Karban Pesach even if most of the Jews are tummy, being a Karban Sibur. However, Rabbi Yehuda, Eimer Ma'abrin. Rabbi Yehuda says that you do make a leap year for that. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Ma'aseh b'Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda." Sorry, he had Chizkiyahu in his first year of king. He took over right by Nisan. So there wasn't enough time to purify the entire Jewish nation. So she'iber t'shanim ne'atoma. So he made it a leap year because the Jews were tamei. So that they can be tar to bring the Karban Pesach. And then he asked mercy for himself because he wasn't supposed to have done it. He knew that he wasn't supposed to have done that, but he needed to do it anyways. He felt he needed to do it anyways. The same as the pasuk says, "Kimar b'ta'am, rabbis me'prayim nashav v'yitzachar zvolon la'yitaru." Most of the nation, most of the Ephraim and Menashe and Yisrael and Zvolun were not pure. Kiyachos Pesach, Belaikos Kosov. They ate the Karm Pesach, not as said, not as the Pesach says, Kispal Chizkiyo Aleim, Lema Hashem Emate Vechaper Ba'ad. They ate the Karm Pesach, not as the Torah says, not the proper time, because Chizkiyahu said about them, Hashem and the good should it forgive for them. Rabbi Shimon Amir, however, Rabbi Shimon argued, is it even if they had tumah ibrua mubarets? If they made a leap year because of the tumah, then it's a leap year. So why did he ask for mercy? She'ein me'abim ela adar. You're only able to make a leap year of adar. V'hu iber nisan b'nisan. He made a leap year of nisan in nisan. Rishim ben Yehudah imam Rishim Rishimen. And Rishim Yehudah says in the name of Rishimen, the reason why he asked for mercy for himself is Neshe'e si'en nisar alatis tesach sheni. He advised the Jews normally, if most of the Jews are tamei, then you do it on Pesach, and there's no Pesach Sheni. But that year, even though most of the Jews were tamei, he still advised the Jews to make their carbon Pesach Sheni, and so that's what he was asking for mercy for himself for. Okay. We're from Rebbe. So the Rebbe says in the Sicha that in times of Beit Mikdash, only the Kohen Gadol was able to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and only on Yom Kippur. When Mashiach comes, not only the Kohen Gadol is able to, but every Jew will be on the level of the Kohen Gadol, will be as Hashem said by Matan Torah, a nation of Kainim, Kainim Gailim, and so they're going to be able to go into Kainish production. And not only in Yom Kippur, but any time that they want.
Do you have to do
Tshuva
first, or
have to wait? Obviously, you need Tshuva, but This is what the Rebbe says, that by Ni'ilah, we're staying inside the gate. That even now, we're still within Hashem's palace. We're still within the Kodesh HaKadosh. And when Mashiach comes, it's going to be more revealed that how it can be in the Kodesh HaKadosh. So from the Mishlochan Aruch Rava, Simon Yud Beis Halacha Hey. Whenever the hands can't be knotted, only because they're too thick, if they're thicker than normal, then cysts are still valid. Idea being that if the threads were not so thick, were normal width, then they'd be valid because they'd be knottable. So now over here, where they're red or they're thicker, or they shouldn't be disqualified, because that's only hit or mitzvah. And the hit or mitzvah shouldn't get disqualified. In any case, that's a halach vav. In any case, which requires is that a knottable length remains. Some opinions maintain that it hold that the entire braid has to remain intact, and after that, at the loose ends, the strings have to be that's knottable length. Other opinions hold that the fits are valid even if the threads are cut all the way to the point, all the way to the braid, and there's only a knottable length from that point until from the braid until where the tits is meets the garment, until down here. So according to the first opinion, and back at Sith Bays, even if all the threads were wound and in the braid, it were severed, each leaving only a remnant and of knottable length, the tits would be valid. Nevertheless, some of the coils in a braid that's still partially remaining should be unwound, so that there's some freely hanging threads. For example, if there's three coils in a braid, two of them should be unwound and one should be left, so that one third of the tzitzis will be a braid and two thirds will be free hanging threads. So practically, the universal accepted minhag is to be stringent and to require the minimum length to be from this actual strings, the free hanging threads from the braid, as the first opinion. If ever there's no alternative, for example, there's no spare threads for tzitzis, one may rely on the second opinion. However, in that case, one should not recite a blessing, one should not say a bracha over the tzitzis, because tzitzis bracha laka. When there's a doubt in bracha, you are lenient. Similarly, one should not go out in public wearing such tzitzis on Shabbos. Now, the eight threads become untwined after the tzitzis are attached to the garment, the following rules apply. These rules apply whether or regardless of whether the entire length of the thread became unraveled into two strands or whether only part of it became unraveled. Since tzitzis are invalid, if they're not unraveled, if not twined, a thread or part of it that became untwined is considered as if it was separate from tzitzis. Accordingly, the above laws regarding partially severed threads also apply. However, over here, there's room for more leniency, and the first opinion mentioned in the second in Chelk Bay in Sif Bay's can be followed. Thus, even if the twined part of each of the four long threads is no more than a knot, the knottable length, the tzitzis are still valid. The rationale is there's an authority who maintains that the threads of tzitzis need not be twined at all, need not be raveled at all. Here, therefore, greater leniency can be shown than in situations in which the threads are actually severed. Since there's an opinion on top of an opinion to be, Mikkel. What time is it, Mary?
8:40.
8:40. Can you? So, Simon Yugimel, laws relating to tzitzis on Shabbos. Since all four tzitzis make up one mitzvah, each corner is a makif. As long as the talis doesn't have all four tzitzis, it's not a tzitzis as required by a law. Thus, one goes out into Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos wearing a garment with only a three corner, it's only three tzitzis. It is chayv chatas. Since tzitzis, which are attached to, are not a mitzvah, so they're considered carrying. Although they're connected to the talis, they're not they're not a butthole to it. Because he values them. He's concerned earned with them until he completes the insertion of all four titties. Even if all four titties become disqualified because of some of the threads have been severed and less than audible legs remains, as explained last Simon, the threads which remain intact and not severed are important to the owner of Talus, and he tends to supplement them with additional threads. Therefore, though they are connected to the Talus, they're not considered as merely buttle, but as carrying. They're as a burden. Having become disqualified, they now serve the Talus. They're not the enjoyment of the Talus, nor do they serve a functional element. They're of no use to it at all. Different rules apply, however, if all the threads of all four titus are severed without even one long thread remaining intact. And some of the threads are now less than a notable length in a manner that renders all titus invalid and beyond repair. Since they must be replaced by new titus, since there's absolutely nothing left that's salvageable, the remnants of the severed threads attached to the Talus are not valued at all by their owner and are considered subordinate to the Talus, considered a buttle to the Talus. It is therefore permitted it to go out wearing them on Shabbos, even into the public domain, provided that it is a borrowed Talus that is not obligated to have titis. As otherwise, it's also to wear a four-cornered garment without titis, as established in Simon Ches. Sitbeis, it is, however, are permitted to go out to the public domain on Shabbos wearing a talus that does have titis, as required by Halacha. This applies even nowadays when tchelis is no longer available, both in regards to talus katan and talus gadol, both by day and night. The night is not a time when mitzvah titis applies. Valid titis are like an adornment that decorates the garment, like a fringe or like. Hence, they're not considered a burden. One must, however, take care that he should not rest his talus on his shoulder, or differently from the way he wears it on weekdays, as it's be established in Simon Shin and Aleph, Sif Lamin Hei, Sidi. Sif Gimel, there's no need to check the titsits when going out to the public domain if they've already been checked that day, because we rely on the chazakah of that they're good, as established in Simon Chetz, Sidi. Simandalid, if a person standing in their Shisar Rabbim on Shabbos discovers that the talus they're wearing, whether talus gadol or talus katan, is pasul deraisa, he has to remove it, even if doing so will leave him naked in a public marketplace. The reason is that the consideration of personal dignity does not override a issa deraisa. As it's written in Chachma in Tvila, nor wisdom, understanding, or counsel of no account when encountering Hashem. See your Sin Gimel, same principles apply there. Different laws apply, however, on a weekday. If it's a talus katan, there's no obligation to remove it immediately. Though a person is going against a mitzvah sasei daraisa by wearing a four-cornered garment without titis, leniency may be shown. Since he's not doing an actual action to nullify the mitzvah, it's just being nullified as a matter of course. The consideration of personal dignity is so great that it supersedes it is even a scriptural prohibition, and so long as it's passive, without a performance of action. Nevertheless, this individual should hurry home and remove the talus katan. This applies even if he's involved in a matter associated with a mitzvah, even in a bar mitzvah, for example, he's in a shul or a bit medrash, because there's a mitzvah deraisa involved. More urgency applies as in regards to the talus gadol. Since in our days it's not worn as a garment, but for the sake of mitzvah, it's not embarrassing to remove it, and therefore it must be removed even in the marketplace. So, hey, if one goes to shul and discovers that a talus is puzzle, he's not allowed to put it on, even if he's embarrassed to daven inside a talus. This applies even if he doesn't make a bracha. The idea being, since it's not that humiliating to sit without a talus, and it's not like, extremely humiliating, a minor discomfort is not sufficient cause to supersede a Mississippi Risa. And six, when does above apply? On a weekday, because then it's possible to attach tithes to talus. So by wearing it, he's doing an action that overrides the Mitzvah. On Shabbos, however, when Shabbos don't allow him to attach tithes, there's no Mitzvah against wearing a talus to attach tithes. Because the Torah didn't say don't wear a garment to attach tithes, rather, is put on. On a four-common garment, does Mitzvah say to attach tzitzis to it? Accordingly, in this above situation, since one may now attach tzitzis on Shabbos, he's not either. However, the Chachamim forbid wearing such a garment, because ultimately this would lead to being either a Seder Raisa. Nevertheless, they did not uphold their ordinances at the expense of personal dignity, even if it's just a slight discomfort. Therefore, or on Shabbos, if one finds a talus scuttle its puzzle, if one's embarrassed to carry a talus, he may put it on without a bracha. In Zion, when does the above apply? When a person did not know before Shabbos that a talus became impossible. If ever he knew of this before Shabbos, he's not allowed to wear it on Shabbos because he should have made a kosher talus on Friday.